But you will need a Bible. If you have a Bible, hope you do. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. And we got a few minutes here we can spend going through the scripture. So let's start in Galatians chapter 6. If you're here last week, I brought up this question. What does it mean to be spiritual? I don't know if you remember that. But I brought that question up because our world has a perception of what it means to be spiritual. And 99% of the time, what they say is being spiritual is wrong. Because when you leave the Bible out of your definition of spiritual, you end up in the ditch. So we want to make sure that we get what the Bible says about what makes a person spiritual. I won't take you over there now, but you can look at 1 Corinthians 2 and 3. And in 1 Corinthians 2, here's what it says. It says, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him." So there's the first person, the natural man. He's unsaved, does not know the Lord. It goes on to mention, Paul says, addressing people who are saved, he says, "I could not speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal." So the second kind of person would be a carnal believer. And then the third kind of person is the one that hopefully you try to be, you want to be, is a spiritual believer. So what does it mean to be spiritual? Last week we looked at the spiritual mind. The reason I started on purpose talking about the mind is because that's where everything begins. Your thoughts become actions. What you think in your heart eventually comes out of your mouth and what you do. So this week, we're going to go a little further and talk about a certain spiritual attitude. So Galatians 6 is where we'll start. You had a comment there, Zane?
Just kind of what you were talking about, like the heart aspect. So it made me think of like Jesus, you know,
sure did. Yeah, there's a couple places in the Gospels where Jesus Christ is conversing usually with the Pharisees, and it says, Jesus, knowing their hearts. And then it goes on to tell you what was on their heart, because he knew what was on their heart, and your Bible actually tells you how these guys were thinking. So, that's a good comment there, Zane, because I often read the Bible, but you know what happens when you and I read the Bible? The Bible reads you. Because this is the mind of the Lord, and the Lord knows your heart and mind when you approach the Bible, and He'll show you what you're really all about. Go ahead.
I was going to say that it's like the heart in that perspective.
Absolutely, yep. Yeah. Good study would be, and maybe we can do that down the road here. The heart in your Bible is really the real you, what you're all about. So, exactly right. It's not just a pump that pumps blood, but more than that in the Bible. So, Galatians 6. Let's start reading verse 1. I'll read down to verse 3. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." So, there in verse 1, it says, ye which are spiritual, and it talks about how to handle somebody who's fallen. This would be somebody who, it says, is overtaken in a fault. So, it wouldn't just be somebody who sinned because we're all dealing with sin still, even though we're saved, we still have the flesh. This would be somebody who's been overtaken where they're really deep in the pits of sin. And you've probably known people like this in your life. And oftentimes, if you're thinking carnally, somebody who gets all caught up in sin, and I'm talking about believers, somebody who gets all caught up in sin, our first thing that we often think and maybe even sometimes say about them is, they're wicked. Now, I'm guilty of saying that. We often just quick to judge. I can't believe they did that. Did you notice what the scripture says there? It says, considering who. It says, restore such an one, but then it says, considering who. thyself. So the attitude we ought to take whenever somebody falls, I'm talking about a saved person, whenever they fall, the attitude we ought to take is, that could have been me, but by the grace of God. And the first thing you should do, I think Miss Diana just nailed it, is pray for them. And if they don't have a humble heart and want to seek restoration, pray that they get one. So, quite different than the way we think in our carnal mind how to handle such a situation, but this is the way to handle it. I'll give you a good illustration here. Sherry and I were involved in a ministry just a couple of years ago. We served with all our hearts there and really enjoyed it for a time, and then we began to see some things going on behind the scenes that were very troubling. So we did it the scriptural way. We said, number one, we started praying about it. Number two, we addressed the problem with the leadership. And one-on-one, in person, addressed the problem with the leadership and said, this is a concern of ours. And I went, Sherry went on different occasions, and our concerns were pushed aside. And there's a lot of reasons I could tell you why. I won't get into that, why at least I think. But they were pushed aside as, it's not really that big of a deal. So we made the decision, after observing and praying, we made the decision, we can no longer be a part of this. Because when you're a part of a ministry and you know what's happening that is accepted and it's wrong, you best get out. Especially if it's been addressed the way that it was addressed. So when we left, again, this is the grace of God that we had this attitude, because we could have got all mad and made a scene and left, but we tried to leave as quiet as possible and say, okay, Lord, we know in your timing you will take care of this. So it didn't take but I guess about a year, year and a half, and the Lord took care of that. Just here in the last few months, He has taken care of that. And when the Lord cleans house, He's serious. And some things got exposed that I knew nothing about. I suspected, but I had no idea. And they just got all out in the open, and the Lord took care of that. So I bring that situation up because it says in that verse, consider thyself. You need to think about how that could be you, because you're still in the flesh. You could come along to a place where you make some really foolish decisions, and that could be you. This is why, and it's, you hear this so often from our pastor and from other guys in this pulpit, it is so important that your walk with God not be every day. You say, what? It's not daily? No. It's actually every moment of every day. Because you can start the day off really well, and then by lunchtime, you're off in the carnal mind. It's a moment-by-moment walk with God. For me to get from here to the back door there doesn't seem that long, but it's going to take me probably 20, 25, 30 steps to get there. And that's how our walk with God is. It's step-by-step, and I tell you, every moment you've got to be walking in harmony with the Lord, every step, or else you'll go off, like I said, in the ditch. So, first thing I want to start off here is consider yourself before you start to make judgment calls on others. Now, I'm not telling you not to judge, because your Bible says that you should judge, but you want to judge righteously, and that does not always mean you throw a fit or you make a scene. That's an easy thing to do, but that's not usually the way to handle it. Let the Lord sort those things out. But what I want to focus on here for the next 10 or 15 minutes here, if we've got a little time, is it says in verse 1, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one, and it says, in the spirit of, what's it say, folks? Meekness. And then it says, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So I want to park on meekness. And I'll tell you, I've been in church a long time. I have not heard very many messages on meekness. And let me ask you, before we dig into this and see what the Bible says, what is meekness? When you think of meekness, what words come to mind that are similar? Anybody? Timid, okay. Anybody else? Gentle. That's actually, you'll see in several verses, we probably won't get but maybe one or two tonight, but meekness and gentleness right next to each other in a verse. Yeah. Constrained. That's a really good synonym. I think something that goes along with that would be submission in obedience to what is right. To be more specific, obedient submission to the Lord and His will. Meekness. How about a word that starts with an H that is very similar to meekness? Starts with an H and ends in ility. Humility, yes. Humility. And I actually almost said something that I want to make sure I say right. Meekness is not weakness. That is confused by the world. Because our Lord Jesus Christ, and if we have time, we'll look at a verse or two. He is meek. Matthew 11, it says, He's meek and lowly at heart. And He's the one where you find rest for your soul. So, I know my Lord Jesus Christ is not weak. He's the greatest of strength that there is. So, meekness is not weakness. The world's got that messed up. But humility, submission to the will of God. I think what she said, Miss Diana said, constrained. Anything else before we go on here? Charitable goes hand in hand with being meekness. Yes. Charitable in that you're more concerned about other folks than you are yourself. Very good. Yeah, humble humility goes right along with that. Now, here's how we're going to approach this. And if we have to take next week to finish this up, that's fine. But in our Bible study principles, we've learned this thing about the principle of first mention. So we are going to look at the first time the word meek shows up. Go to Numbers. Go to your Old Testament. Go to the book of Numbers and chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12. So if you type in your little Bible search, meek, you will find the first occurrence in Numbers 12. And this is a really neat passage that the first time you see this word, God gives you a bunch of good information about it. And it actually is a description for a man that you know a thing or two about. Numbers chapter 12. Look at verse 1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And watch this little statement here. And the Lord, what's it say? The Lord heard it. Let me just stop on that one. There's some preaching that we can do from that little short phrase. Is there anything spoken by any person that the Lord doesn't know about because He doesn't hear it? Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. You know what the Lord could do at the great white throne or even at the judgment seat of Christ? You know what He could do if He wanted? He could say, let me remind you what you said. And He could play the tape. Not that the Lord needs a tape recorder, but He could say, here's what you said, and He heard it when it was said. So, the Lord heard what Miriam and Aaron said against Moses. Now, what do you know about Moses? At this point, Moses is God's man. He is a God-appointed leader of the Israelites. So, look at verse 3. Right after that statement there. Now, the man Moses was very what? Very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. So, first thing here, let's just kind of focus on meekness. And I'll tell you, Moses, in verses 1 and 2, was criticized. And what I don't see from Moses is a knee-jerk reaction against the people who criticized him. And I will tell you, being in a position where I've been criticized for leadership decisions I've made, that is the usual reaction, isn't it? You want to lash out at somebody who's criticized you. And in this case, they go right at his family. And isn't that where the devil usually aims at? He usually goes after the leader's family or something about the family. So I don't see Moses lashing out and saying, let me handle these people. Instead, look what happens in verse 4. And you get a little bit more about Moses and his meekness here. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam. Come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation, and they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And He said, Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And if you go on there, what happens to Miriam as a result of this? The Lord makes her leprous. Like that happens down there in verse 10. So, a couple things here about Moses, and I think what I'm going to tell you here, being in the same passage, goes hand in hand with Moses and his meekness. Notice what the Lord says about Moses in verse 4. Now, this is what the Lord said. Actually, it's not in verse 4. It's down there in verse 7. The Lord says, my servant Moses is not so, who is what? Faithful in all mine house. And Moses' faithfulness goes hand in hand with his meekness. And here's why. He said, I'm going to trust the Lord to sort out those who are speaking against me. And the most meek man on the earth was just simply faithful to God, obeying the Lord, and letting the Lord handle the vengeance aspect. And I'll take you to a place, you can turn there, you can look at it yourself, I'll just give you the reference. Romans 12:19. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Now, I know everybody in here, if you're honest, you've wanted to even the score with somebody, yeah? And you thought of all kinds of ways you could even the score and take care of them really good, yeah? Let the Lord even things out. We had a situation at my school here recently where, and it's been really discouraging to see other Christian schools have no integrity in the world of athletics. It's been very discouraging to witness that in the last, just the last few weeks in dealing with some other schools. And we had a school that we play that they were cheating. I'll just say that. I won't go into detail, but they were cheating and they got caught. So one of our assistant coaches, having a conversation with him, and he said, when we play them, you let me tell them. And I said, stop it. I said, you telling them is only going to tarnish our good testimony that we have right now. But they need to hear about what they did. I said, listen. And it was a real neat opportunity the Lord gave me to talk to this guy. Because I'm not 100% where he is with certain things spiritually. And I said, listen, let's let the Lord handle this. Now, here's the thing about it. When the Lord handles it, he doesn't always handle it when we want to handle it, but he handles it. Now, many of y'all here, y'all seen the Lord handle some things that you could have handled, but you waited on him and he took care of it. Amen? I am telling you, and I tell you just recent thing that happened with the ministry that we were in before, the Lord drops the hammer and he does a good job of sorting things out, doesn't he? Now, here's what you got to keep in mind. The Lord may choose not to sort things out in this life. You understand that? He may sort it out at the great white throne judgment with some folks, but he will sort it out. He's called the righteous judge, isn't he? He's called the judge of all the earth. Place says over in the book of Genesis, says, shall the judge of all the earth do right? Yes, he will do right. Here's what you got to remember. Give it to the Lord and let him handle it in his time. Amen? You can think of court cases in your lifetime where it sure seemed like somebody was as guilty as could be and they got off. I could give you three names that come to mind, and you would say, yeah, that shouldn't have happened. Hey, the court system might have got it wrong, but the Lord will take care of that. You got to remember that. And as you think through this, consider, just like the book of Galatians said, consider thyself, because you, if not for the grace of God, could be in the same boat. All right? So Moses, meek, faithful. I'll give you one more thing about Moses. Look at verse 7 again. What does God call Moses at the first part of verse 7? My servant Moses. A meek person is faithful to God. A meek person is a servant of God. And a meek person, next thing you could say here, number 3, is in this case with Moses, Moses sought no vengeance of his own. He let the Lord sort it out. So just from that passage, you get some good things about Moses that go right along with meekness. Meekness is a mark of being spiritual biblically. So what's that mean from this passage? Moses was faithful to God. Moses was God's servant. Moses let the Lord sort out the wrongdoers, okay? Let's go over, I've got a couple minutes here. Let's go look at a couple more passages. Go to Psalm 22. Psalm 22. Meekness in the Bible. Meekness is a mark of biblical spirituality, so let's find out what that means. We'll add to our list here the three things with Moses, see if we can get through a few more. I think I got eight of these all together. Maybe we can get through four or five of them before we go. Psalm 22. Yeah, Psalm 22. Go down there to verse 26. Watch where it says about the meek. 22:26, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. They, that's the meek, they shall do what? Praise the Lord that seek Him. Your heart shall live forever. The attitude of meekness praises God for the work that He's done. Now, you know what we got to hear tonight from a couple folks here right among us? Brother Mark's one. Praise God for boom, boom, boom. And if we took the time to go around the room, everybody here could do it. I've heard all of you do it at one time or another. A meek person praises God. Now, who's our world interested in praising? Other men, yep. You can go over to John 12 in your own time. Look at verse 42 and 43. And it talks about some men that were afraid of what other men would think of them. So they didn't believe on Jesus Christ, and they were afraid of getting thrown out of the synagogue. And it says over there, they sought the praise of men more than the praise of God. Folks, who made man? God made man. Who deserves the praise? So anytime you want to give praise to a person, you need to praise the one who made the person before you praise the person. That's something that the Lord did. So a meek person praises God. Let's see if we can get through two more here. Go to Psalm 25, just a little ways away. Psalm 25, the meek. The Bible says a lot about what it means to be meek. A meek person is faithful to God. A meek person serves God. A meek person lets the Lord handle the opposition. A meek person praises God. And here's number five. Look at Psalm 25, verse 9. Two things in this verse. The meek, will he do what? Guide in judgment. And then look at the second part. And the meek, will he teach his way? So someone who is meek, this would be number five. The meek are willing to be guided by the Lord. Hey, let's focus on this thing about being spiritual. What is one of the things that the Holy Spirit does? It says over in John, I think it's chapter 16, He shall, the Holy Spirit, He shall guide you. Anybody know what the rest of the verse does? Into all truth. So, who's your guide? If you're going to be spiritual, the Holy Spirit will be your guide. And by the way, there's a lot of other spirits that want to guide you. If you remember, there's a message here, I went through some of these a while back, probably been a few months ago. There's this thing that the world promotes now called spirit guides. Zane, you ever hear of this stuff? It's straight up New Age, yeah. And the world is all into this spirit guide and that spirit guide, and all of them are satanic because all of them are against the Spirit of God. So any spirit against the Spirit of God, you better just stay away from it. But I bring that up because the Spirit of God is your guide. In that verse it says, the meek will He guide in judgment. Hey, when you're following the leading of the Spirit of God and you're guided by Him, that is a mark of meekness. So there's number five. The meek are willing to be guided by the Lord. Number six is in the same verse. Verse six, or the second part of the verse, give me number six. The meek will He teach His way. So, if you're going to be considered meek, you are willing to be taught God's ways. Now, you probably are thinking, well, yeah, duh. But here's a problem. So many people, Christians included, Bible-believing Christians included, think that they know what's best. Folks, you don't know what's best. You only know what's best if you know what God wants for you and what God wants for any situation. Because God knows best, doesn't He? Remember the TV show? It's an old TV show. Father Knows Best. Y'all remember that?
the Father, capital F, knows best. He knows best. So therefore, we ought to be taught by Him so that we are led in the right path. So the meek are willing to be taught God's ways. And that goes along with Ms. Diana said constraint, and I said submission. If you're willing to be taught, you're willing to acknowledge, I don't know everything. I'm going to sit under the one who does know everything, that being the Lord and His Word. Can I give you one more here? I hate to not have this one included. Can I give you one more? Okay, go to Zephaniah. That's kind of a hard one to find, but let's end on this one. Zephaniah chapter 2. 7 is God's number of completion, and I gave you 6. We can't end on that one. So let me give you number 7 here. Zephaniah chapter 2. And you'll see why I want to end on this one. So the last 4 books of your Old Testament, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah. Kind of hard to find there. Short little book. Chapter 2. Last thing here about meekness. Zephaniah chapter 2. Look down there at verse 3. Zephaniah 2:3. Y'all got it? Y'all find Zephaniah? Zephaniah 2:3. Seek ye the Lord, all ye what? All ye meek of the earth, which have wrought His judgment, seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. So what I take away from that concerning meekness is the meek seek after the Lord. The meek seek after the Lord. Contrast here. Isaiah 55, 6 and 7. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him turn to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him. It's not a contrast, that's a comparison, it's not the opposite. But the meek seek the Lord. Matthew 6:33, you know the verse. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The meek are going to seek after the Lord first and foremost. By the way, did you notice in that verse? It actually tells you 3 things to seek. Seek ye, number 1, the Lord. Later on it says, seek righteousness. And in the same verse, seek meekness. So as you go tonight, I think a good thing for all of us to do, Lord, ask the Lord, Lord, help me to seek to be meek in Your sight. And I want to cover a couple things next week and we'll add to this, but keep in mind, meekness and weakness don't go hand in hand. They're actually the opposite. It takes great strength to be meek. Now, the world would not understand this, but great spiritual strength is required to be meek. How are you going to get that strength? Where's that going to come from? That's going to have to come from the Lord. So the meek don't seek their own way. They seek the Lord's way. The meek know they don't know everything. They got to get taught by the Lord. The meek know that if they try to make decisions on their own, they'll end up in the darkness. They need to be guided by God. The meek are going to praise God instead of praising men. The meek are going to serve God. The meek are going to be faithful to God. And the meek are going to let the Lord sort out all those who do wrong. Now, that's 7 things I gave you there. And I read the list and I'm like, I'm struggling. You can't be any of these things. I can't be any of these things unless I say, Lord, help me to be meek so that I have these characteristics. So you got a little test ahead of you. In the next few days, you can say, Lord, help me to be meek in all the situations I face. And man, doesn't that include a whole bunch of different characteristics? You thought I was going to give you a definition. We're going to hop to the next characteristic. We just got 7 things about meekness from the Bible that go along with being meek. So should you want to be meek? Hey, in the Psalms it says, and I didn't have the reference here to go through it, but the meek, actually, Sermon on the Mount, not the Psalms, the meek shall inherit the earth. You know what the Lord has for those who are meek? A reward. It's worth it to be meek no matter what the world says. So, spiritual attitude, meekness. Lord, help me to be meek. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for just showing us some truth here, and I pray that all of us would strive to be like our Lord Jesus Christ, conform to His image, and truly carry on the spirit of meekness. May we not think too much of ourselves. It would obviously be the opposite. But think about how you know what's best for us all the time. Help us in these days ahead. I know we'll all be tested on these areas of being meek here in the next few days and maybe even next few hours. Help us to just let you handle things. Help us to be faithful to you. Help us to humble ourselves in your sight and just trust you to lead the way. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.